I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Thursday, the 9th of June, 2016. Derek Russell is over there.
It's the 9th of
June.
I'm
over here. I'm Brad Locke.
Just every time you tell me the date, I'm more amazed.
I try to throw people off. I was like, Derek Russell. And they're going to be like, whoa, that's Derek Russell? I could have sworn it was the other guy.
Which guy?
What? I don't know.
It's usually me.
I'm still trying to wake up.
Who is it? Is somebody in here doing my job else that y'all haven't told me about?
What?
Has somebody else been in here doing my job?
No.
He's gonna kind of get out of his cubicle after the show, and there's going to be somebody working on the scene.
No, you know I don't get out of my cubicle.
That's Chris Kiefer, producer.
Hello.
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 And who has now become like the third host now that Maggie is producing.
Right, it's kind of like
a, we need like a
prop my feet up. And
we need like a nickname for Chris because, like, you know, a lot of these radio shows, the producer will occasionally chime in. Like, I remember just an example on Colin Coward's show when he had it on ESPN. His producer was named Fish. That's what he called himself. And he would just chime in like every now and then.
About the Keymaster.
So, yeah, Keymaster.
There you go. Kiefer.
No, what was the... When Riley was in here and we went through the rap names, Chief Keef.
Chief Keef.
I like that one.
Chief Keef.
How about Chiefer?
Chiefer.
Maybe not.
I like Chiefer.
I like it. It's a combination of your first and last names.
It is.
Although
it
Chris
is
the hard sound.
That's
but
fine.
It's fine.
Well, then you'd just be going Kiefer.
True.
Circumvented ourselves there.
Chiefer.
I like Chiefer. We're going with Chiefer. Okay. It's voted on. All hands? Show of hands? That's 2-1.
Maggie agrees.
Yeah, it's 3-1. Yeah, Maggie. Yeah. I can't even see Maggie. I just saw Maggie's hand come up over the screen.
She's got that huge computer over there. You ever have a nickname in high school, Chris?
Apparently so.
Is that not repeatable on air? Because I had one in college I can't repeat on air. But in high school, they called me Dirty Harry because my middle name is Harold. So
there you go.
And you never showered.
Well, no, that's not completely true.
Pigpen. What was it, Chris? Come on.
No, I'm building it up too much. No, mostly it was just Kiefer. You know, I kind of got to the point where I forget my first name is Chris because everyone just
called me. Even in my
Kiefer,
phone
which
is
was,
Chris.
Which
you're
was
just
kind
Kiefer.
Of, the interesting
you were now
thing,
Chiefer, though. I'm changing that right now. Brad, too.
The interesting thing is wherever I'd go, like, I mean, I guess it's just a last thing that people like using because then I'd go off to college and people who didn't know that's what everyone called me in high school started calling me Kiefer. And then I start working covering sports for the papers and everybody on the beat starts calling me Kiefer. And
everybody thought he was an exchange student.
Everywhere where it got picked up. My other nickname, everyone called me the jock because they're trying to be ironic because I was a manager for the basketball team and
the water boy
for the football team. And they had, I had an athletic Letterman jacket because of that. And my high school had 2 Letterman jackets. It had an academic one too. It was red for like clubs or GPA, or you get the athletic one if you had an athletic letter, which was the cooler jacket to have. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I opted for that one. So all my friends and making fun of me for having the athletic Letterman jacket. Because I wasn't very athletic, so they called me.
I had a letter jacket for band.
That's worse.
I don't care.
I'm just kidding.
Proud of that.
Did you have anything other than Dirty Harry?
In high school?
Yeah. I had one in high school and one in college.
To remember. Well, I've told you before about the guy that called me Bradley Wayne.
Yeah.
Even though that's not my middle name.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm trying to remember if that was it.
BW.
It's been a while.
I'm gonna start calling you Buffalo Wild Wings.
Please don't.
Like a morning radio show. Oh, you're on with Buffalo Wild Wings and the Chiefer.
You're on the zoo this morning.
In the mornings.
Derek, what about you?
I had one in high school. Friends called me Dirk.
Hey, Dirk. Yeah. This is how they pronounce it in Mississippi.
Yeah.
That was actually on my jersey for
nice
for intramural frisbee football. That was
nice.
What it was. Zucchini squashers. State champions, I might add. Thank you.
But that
didn't get a Letterman jacket for that, but you know.
Yeah, we were. I was at college. This is the nickname I can't really outright mention.
Mm-hmm.
This was a Christian school, Covenant College.
Those are the worst.
I was on the intramural football team.
Yeah,
we won the We won the championship that year, by the
Godspeed. Did but we anyway, phase off?
No. So they put out the roster.
And you were 40 I'm pretty sure this had to be intentional.
They misspelled my last name.
I got a feeling that's where it was going.
Yeah, there was not an L. And honestly, I don't. The L is on the opposite side of the keyboard from the C, so I don't know how that. And so the nickname sprang from that. And
that's unfortunate.
I can't. Mm. Yeah, like I said, I can't say that on air, but you can do the math.
First, or the letter. I don't know if that's math or not. Those are that's algebra. You can do the algebra.
I had to take algebra. What? Twice, so.
First show I was ever in college, first play I was ever in, my character's name was English. So that was what I was called all through college, English.
English. I got called other things, too, but they were not really, like, affectionate.
Hey, you.
Yeah. Hey, idiot, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, we get that here.
Sure.
Ah, Chiefer. I like it.
Chiefer.
Go ahead and get that printed up on some business cards.
Put that on his nameplate by his cubicle. Chiefer.
What are we doing today, Brad?
I don't know. What are we doing? We're going to talk to some people.
Bobby Harrison joining us from Jackson.
Yeah, he is.
Also, Scott Morris talking his movie reviews, and Emma Kent coming in as well.
And you going to talk about what's going on this weekend?
I'm going to get you through your weekend.
Wow, that's quite the proposition.
Yeah. I'm going to fail. I'm going to let you down hard. It's not going to work out for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we got a good show, I guess.
Good roundup. Yeah. Good lineup for you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good. Cool.
Great.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hey, wait, but first.
But first, it's a bit of breaking news. I've just been handed a bulletin. I've just been handed another bulletin. I've just been handed a third bulletin.
Here it is. Almost forgot that today's show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. I had to find the ad there, buried it amongst all the other
You don't
things.
Have that memorized by now?
I probably do.
You should go to South.
I don't trust myself.
You should.
I don't trust my brain. I need Bradley to go to wallandmemory.com.
We'll be doing our morning show from South, Buffalo Wild Wings and the Chiefer in the mornings, 96.3.
Oh, boy. So let's go down to Jackson and talk with Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Journal. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
All right, man. We had a story today that you wrote about the Health Department, the Mississippi Department of Health, and, of course, we've known with the budget cuts and everything that they were losing some money, and there was a hearing conducted by the Legislative Black Caucus and trying to learn more, I guess, about this. And then the kind of the focus of the story today, Bobby, was the infant mortality program that's going to get cut. They seem pretty concerned about this, don't they?
Yeah, this is just part of the same story that's been continuing pretty much since the session, since the end of the session back in, what was that, April. The Department of Health, like so many agencies, are having to absorb some big cuts, and they said one way they were going to deal with the cuts is eliminating the infant program designed to combat infant mortality in the state. I mean, they'll still be doing stuff in regards to infant mortality and trying to lower the rates, but this program was something that was started a couple of years ago. It dealt with prevention and other programs to help low-income pregnant women. And earlier this year, they made cuts to the clinics they have throughout the state, and they got to continue program like the TB program and the syphilis program, and they got to do the regulatory stuff as far as like inspecting restaurants and wastewater treatment sites. So this is where the cuts are going to come down.
It seems like a pretty big deal. I mean, I know Mississippi ranks pretty high in infant mortality, and of course, you know, I mean, it's one of the poorest states. So it seems like this could have a long range impact here, Bobby.
Well, and Dr. Curry, I mean, this was, Mississippi's been dealing with a high infant mortality rate probably since you and I were babies, Brad. And this, Dr. Mary Curry, the state health officer who runs the Department of Health, you know, when she first proposed this program a couple of years ago, she said these were specific things that could be done that had proven to be productive in lowering the rate, the governor got on board and everybody and funded it a couple of years ago, they're having to make cuts now because of budget revenue shortfalls and in addition to that, Brad, what came up again yesterday in the hearing was that the nobody knows yet the full impact of the legislation they passed during the 2016 session that changes the way they the budget watched and processed where no longer, you know, like I give Dr. Currier, the Department of Health, as an example. She said because of the elimination of interagency transfers, they're going to save about $5 million by not having to pay rent for their buildings and for not having to pay the Attorney General's office for the attorneys on their staff, or not having to pay ITD, Information Technology Department, for the for things they provide as far as communications and stuff. But in the same time, they're losing about $9 million because they can't charge, you know, they're not getting money for a fee. You know, they get fees to help run the trauma care system and fees on traffic tickets and whatnot. And that, instead of that money going to them, it's going to go straight into the general fund. And but they're, so they're going to lose that money, but they still got to do those programs. So there's a net $4 million loss for them. But and then they said they don't know yet how this is going to shake out as far as losing federal money because of changes they made. So it's just, you know, here we are, the new budget year is about to start, and agencies are still trying to figure that out while they're also having to make budget cuts.
Yeah, and then you've got the Department of Mental Health as well, that they're going to have to have a pretty sizable reduction in workforce, and you know they've been cut by about 4.5% as well.
Yeah, no, they got, I think their cut, Brad, if I'm not mistaken, was about $8 million.
Right.
And appropriations chair Buck Clark wrote some opinion pieces saying that their cut was not going to be that much. That they didn't understand how the new bill that I was talking about, the new law that I was talking about, as far as eliminating interagency transfers, how that bill was going to work. And yesterday at the hearing, the mental health folks said the way they understand the law, and you know, and they got their staff and financial experts and attorneys looking at it, it's not going to save them as much money as Senate Appropriation Chair Buck Clark said it was going to save them. So that's why they made those cuts. You know, I think the bottom line is nobody knows exactly how this new law is going to impact the budget yet. You know, Governor Bryan, I talked to him last week, and he said, I asked him if he had figured it out yet. He said he wouldn't say he figured it out, but he said his staff is working on it every day to try to figure it out. So I don't rule out the possibility that, you know, there still might be a special session before the new budget year begins on July 1st to try to deal with some of these issues.
Well, maybe they can figure something out, Bobby. Seems like everyone's a little bit confused. Anyway, you can read the story in today's journal or on djournal.com. Follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Bobby, thanks for your time, sir.
All right, appreciate it, Brad.
Yep. Need to remind y'all of the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps, every Wednesday. And so we had a new episode drop yesterday. You can listen for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or preprally.djournal.com. And we talked a lot about the coaching changes going on with basketball and football programs in the area. And then we've got double coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. We've got a new episode up already at put it up this morning, and so the guys are talking about satellite camps. Jim Harbaugh was in Mississippi on Wednesday, and also looking at Mississippi State hosting a super regional this coming weekend. So that and more, and you can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Also, want to remind you, over at djournal.com, we have recently removed our paywall, and now our website is free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products like videos, webcasts, even these podcasts like the one you're listening to right now. And the website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. No limit at what you can do at djournal.com, so come stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve. Emma Kent joining us in the studio now to talk about a field trip by Create.
Yes.
Where did they go? Welcome, by the way.
Hi, Derek.
Hey, good to have you. Good to have you.
They went to Columbus, Indiana, which is, I believe, 45 minutes from Indianapolis.
What is there to do in Columbus, Indiana?
Apparently, lots to see. They said it was a really cool town, kind of like Tupelo, maybe bigger, a little bigger. But there is a group there called the Community Education Coalition, mm-hmm. who, I mean, it's similar to what Create does, kind of facilitating and funding like initiatives and programs and things for their region, the education related, you know, their goals are similar. High school graduation, they want to get those dropout rates down and improve education and kind of just improve the life of that area. So they went up there to learn some things from them. They've got some really cool programs and things that they've been doing. But the main thing is, I think CREATE is, they're looking for kind of, you know, they have the Toyota Wellspring Education Fund, which funds a lot of their work. I mean, and so they're looking for a way to kind of organize and kind of create a process for using that fund. I mean, they've been using it, but what Mike Claiborne, the president at CREATE, was telling me was that, you know, they want it to be sustainable. They want to have kind of a sustainable system in place that's going to keep things rolling, you know, just despite what program or initiative it might be. So kind of more structure. And they said they were really impressed with what the CEC was doing up there in Columbus. So
one program I saw, you mentioned high school dropouts earlier, iGrad, mm-hmm. was something they were particularly interested in. What is kind of the goal of iGrad?
That program.
I'm assuming to keep high school graduates.
Yes. Keep
graduating.
Keep cranking out high school graduates. Yeah. It's kind of like an intensive mentoring program. Mm-hmm. The CEC has like full-time graduation coaches, and they go into the schools and they kind of sit down individually one-on-one with every single student and help them map out the rest of their high school career, their college plans, or their whatever plans they might have to help them be successful and to get them to graduate. And so the kind of the thing with that is, because, you know, school counselors do that, but they have much less time to
and
dedicate.
So many students.
And so many students and so many other things that they end up doing that, you know, they can only do so much. They're only, you know, they're just one person, or sometimes you've got more than one, you've got two or three, but still, especially at a place like Tupelo High School where there's just a crazy number of students, I mean, you know, to sit down one-on-one is a big task. So that program was something that the CREATE group was interested in because it's kind of lines up with their goals.
No, I mean, you say in the story they were only there for like 36 hours, so yeah, it was a quick turnaround. I mean, is it kind of like shadowing them for a day, or was it just sharing ideas, bouncing things off of each other?
A little bit of both. They got to go out and see, like, the CEC built like a community learning center,
mm-hmm.
Where lots of its programs and initiatives can kind of like take place. It's like a facility. So they got to go out and see some of that, but then they also just had like little sessions where the CEC members would kind of share information with them and talk about ideas. And so a little bit of both. So lots of learning.
But yeah, good lessons to bring home. All right, Emma, thanks for joining us. Good information all around.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. School is out, but the learning has continued this week for 28 students curious about healthcare professions. The rising 7th, 8th, and 9th grade students are attending North Mississippi Medical Center's Summer Health Academy. The students don't get involved with patient care, but they have gotten a lot of hands-on experience. Rising 9th grader Zamaria Ball of Ingemar Attendance Center said she wants to be a heart surgeon and thought camp would be the best way to find out more.
The expansion of the Salvation Army Lodge and homeless shelter is moving along as scheduled. $2.25 million project will be double the size of the Red Shield Lodge and create three suites to keep families together. It also will upgrade the center's commercial kitchen, remodel classrooms, and add new playground equipment. Officials hope the construction work can begin in January. It will take about 8 months to build the new 5,000 square foot addition that will feature separate dormitories to house 23 men and 17 women.
Pontotoc officials hope to have their gateway to the Tanglefoot Trail open by the end of September. The 10-acre site at the intersection of Reynolds and College Streets will feature a pavilion, an amphitheater, parking, and restrooms. The goal is to have a grand opening by the Bodoc Festival that is held September 28th and 29th. The Tanglefoot Trail is a reclaimed railroad right-of-way that runs 44 miles from Houston to New Albany. Pontotoc lies in the middle of it.
The infant daughter of the late Dr. Nikki Shoemake Patterson died on Wednesday. Aubrey Caroline Patterson died peacefully, surrounded by family. Her mother, a respected Starkville surgeon and Tupelo native, died suddenly during childbirth on June 1st at OCH Regional Medical Center in Starkville. 40-year-old surgeon was on staff at both OCH Regional and North Mississippi Medical Center West Point. She grew up in Tupelo and graduated from Tupelo High in 1994. Mother and daughter will be laid to rest together at 11 a.m. Saturday service at First Baptist Church in Starkville. A visitation will take place from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday at the church. The preliminary results of the autopsy have confirmed Shoemake Patterson died from natural causes during childbirth.
The Mississippi State baseball team will host Arizona this weekend in an NCAA Super Regional. The team that wins two games will advance to the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. Games will be played at 5 o'clock on both Friday and Saturday in Starkville. If a third game is needed, it will be at 5 o'clock on Sunday. MSU last reached the Super Regionals in 2013, winning at Virginia en route to a berth in the College World Series Finals, where the Bulldogs lost to UCLA. I need to remind y'all that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. Got a lot of things going on at South, including the chef, Nick Rice, has been on board since last April. So he's got a new lunch and dinner menu, and they've added weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. South is also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar. That's every Saturday. And you can check out the happy hour specials each weeknight with trivia beginning at 7 o'clock every Wednesday. The winner of that gets a $50 gift card.
It's pretty good brunch, too. In fact, Deanna and I, last weekend, we were in St. Louis, mm-hmm. and we went to brunch at a pretty good place, and I guess a rare chance we didn't have the kids there, so we were able to go to brunch, and we were talking about it afterwards, and it was good, but, you know, I actually said that I didn't think it was as good as the South brunch.
What kind of menu items they have for brunch?
I got the, it was called the South Benedict. It was an Eggs Benedict, and it was really good, but I'm trying to remember. I remember chicken and waffles was one of them.
Never tried that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it either. It looked pretty good.
You like the chicken and waffles?
No, I like the chicken and waffles. Okay. I do enjoy a good chicken and waffles.
But what I remember is there being like five or six things on the menu that made it hard to order that all of them looked really good. So anyway, we liked it.
Okay, check it out. South on North Gloucester. It's Thursday. That means it's movie review day with M. Scott Morris. Hey, buddy.
Before we get going, I'm not sure you can give me a proper interview with your heritage, Brad.
My heritage?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're like Olak. You're Olak, right?
No. I think we're English.
Okay. Never mind. I was English too. So never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
We're fine.
We're good then.
Oh, wait a minute though. I do have Scottish heritage, and so you're English, and that means we're still enemies.
Are we? I might have some Scottish heritage or Irish. I don't know. My wife's a fourth Irish though.
All right, but I've got some English in me as well, so I'm kind of a mix. So
it's all Anglo.
Whatever it is.
It's all pasty.
I got some German.
It's all pasty
in me.
White people. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up.
You cleared anything up. I think you muddied it, if anything.
I'm just trying to see how many people we can offend, how many listeners, other than Chris Cheever over there.
Cheever. So you reviewed a movie called Me Before You.
I did.
You called it a Cinderella story with a twist. Why?
Well, when you think about it, I was thinking about it afterward, and there's a moment where a character actress, Joanna Lumley, shows up. People might remember her from Absolutely Fabulous. She played Patsy. Yeah, some people love that show. I did.
Haven't seen it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she shows up for just a bit, and she's a godmother. And she starts giving advice to Louisa Clark, our heroine. And I just thought, oh, wow. And then Louisa Clark, played by Emilia Clarke, conveniently enough, is a working class lady who needs a job, lost her job. Set in England.
Yeah.
And she gets a job with an upper crust family that actually owns a castle. And so this kind of Cinderella-esque in a way.
Sure.
But there's a twist is that the prince, and he is a prince in almost any way you describe it, but he's also paralyzed from the chest down. And his name is Will, and he's played by Sam Claflin. And I did not recognize him. I'm told by our intern, our apparently highly paid intern, that he was also in Hunger Games and he was Finnick. But I didn't recall him as that. But she may well be right.
I've seen Hunger Games, but I don't remember that guy.
Oh, I just liked all the shooting and the killing. I saw about Hunger Games.
Yeah, it was fun.
Anyway, He used to be, Will Traylor used to be this very active fellow, and now he's in a wheelchair, and he's a pretty bitter fellow at first. And, you know, it's a love story at that point. It becomes romantic comedy in some stretch, but it takes a while for her to kind of get through to him. And then, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm probably one of three males in the theater, but I was entertained, surprisingly. I was there with Michaela, my wife, and we enjoyed it. It's a lot of humor in it that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
But it's also covers some, but it's not exactly a fairy tale story in that I don't want to give too much away about how the thing ends. But my wife and I drove home debating what we thought the story meant and what it was about and how it could offend some people and not offend others. And so it was something that had us talking all the way home. I think I was right and she was wrong, but that's just the way it goes. And she's not here to argue. So
we all know the truth.
Yeah, we all know the truth.
You kind of said in your story, it kind of covered some complicated ground, didn't it?
Right. Well, I think and that complicated ground is something I don't really want to talk about.
No, you don't want to give much away. Yeah.
I kind of knew. I happened to get an email Friday before I saw it, and I was like, oh, well, crud, thank you.
This spoilers?
Yeah, there were some spoilers in there, and that's I didn't want to do that. But there's been a lot of, some people are angry about this film. And
our intern Maggie felt, like she was telling us off the air, she felt manipulated emotionally by this movie.
You know, the same person who wrote the book also wrote the movie, uh-huh. and I wonder what kind of stuff was just couldn't make the transition from page to screen. You figure there's going to be some more context and perhaps some more messiness.
Because it's
a romantic comedy because that's the way it's made. That's the way it comes across in a lot of ways, a fairy tale type romantic comedy. But then it goes into other territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they might have just fit it. There's probably stuff that's in the book that I would imagine would tell the story better.
Yeah.
But I was still surprisingly entertained. I was pulling for them, and I was throughout it all. I will say that my wife had a bunch of Kleenexes, and I was there, and I just had to... I didn't cry, but I had to sniff a little bit, you know. Allergies, I'm sure.
That's when you put your face in the popcorn bag and start eating it like a horse.
That's right. And then you make this kind of... like the mating call of the Walter Mondale from back in the old days.
Oh, boy. Well, Scott,
that's a Walter Mondale reference.
Appreciate that.
I am so old.
Yes, you are, Scott. No, you gave it a B.
I did.
And,
showing at the Malco.
Showing at the Malco in Tupelo. So you can read the review in today's scene section in the journal or at djournal.com. Follow Scott on Twitter at @mscottmorris. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for allowing me to try to make this podcast great again.
It's not funny anymore. Now it's just scary.
I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep saying it until it's funny again.
It's a fruitless endeavor.
I'll bet you in about 3 or 4 years it'll be funny again.
Yeah, we'll see.
If we're still alive.
If we're still here.
Speaking of missile codes.
Y'all have a fine day.
You too, sir. Okay, Derek, what's going on this weekend?
Well, you know, there's always music in the air, Brad.
Is there?
There is.
Okay.
Sometimes you could find it in some areas. Sometimes you can't. We had Sean Johnson in here earlier this week talking about the Amped Music Series.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Inspirational International Hip Hop Artist D1 is going to perform the series for this week. He's also going to be joined by New Albany High School alum Shunzi. 7 p.m. and then D1's taking the stage at 8 p.m. They're doing one of these a week for the next couple of months. So always remember to check that out. If you haven't heard our interview with Sean Johnson, check back earlier in the week over at memo.djournal.com. That's a good one to listen to.
Yes.
That's on Saturday night. Friday night, Oxford, they're kicking off their Movies and Music in the Park summer series. Tony Boyd is going to be doing some music at 7 p.m. And then right after dark, they're going to be showing Disney's Big Hero 6. Mm. So that's free admission to that. Just bring a lawn chair or a blanket and come sit out under the stars, watch a movie.
Yeah.
There you go for that. Today, if you're in Baldwin, hit up Lulalee's restaurant downtown. They're going to be doing one of their music concert series, Parrot Heads and Good Vibrations, Songs of the Summer.
I'm guessing that's a Jimmy Buffett themed thing.
Or Beach Boys. Well, Jimmy Buffett Boys. And Beach Boys. And just a little bit of summer songs. That's today at 7 p.m. Tickets are $22, and that includes your dinner. You can purchase them online at eventbrite.com. Centerpiece for today is TCT's Yummers. Yummer, that's when you take summer and youth and put them together. Yummer. Summer Youth Theater production of musical production, excuse me, of Cinderella is going to be next weekend over at the Lyric Theater. 40 kids putting on the Disney show, which looks great. Went and saw it the other night. They've done a great job. The sets look great. The carriage you can see on the front page of scene looks really good.
Yeah,
all lit up and everything. So that one's a don't miss. I put that as a don't miss, kids. Don't miss it.
When is it?
That's next weekend.
When are showtimes?
June 16th through the 18th.
What day is that? That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. on the 16th and 17th, and 2 p.m. on the 18th. 844-1935 on that one. Get your tickets now.
Cool.
Or you can go be manipulated at Malco and see. You before me, me before you, me before you. I get that one backwards every time, except after C.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
It sounds like A is
a paper and way. I like a good grammar joke.
Nice. Hey, today's show has been brought to you by...
Brad went Canadian on us.
South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25. There you go.
Yeah.
South. North Gloucester.
The former Shoney's.
On North Gloucester. It's not north on South Gloucester.
No.
South on North Gloucester.
Make sure you get that right.
Idea for a new restaurant.
It's on the east side of North Gloucester. South is on the east side of North Gloucester.
Down past Marvin's, I'm opening north.
There you go.
What's that going to be? Can't get any sweet tea there. It's all iced tea.
A bunch of clam chowder and sweet cornbread and other nasty stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to put a West right by Shoppers Value Foods.
Weird vegetables and...
kale, lots of kale.
Lots of kale.
I had some kale and quinoa the other night. Actually, it wasn't bad.
Kale and quinoa?
However you say it.
What?
I can never figure out how to say it.
What?
Quinoa?
What is that?
It's Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Where's that?
Where's what?
Quinoa East. I think that's right.
What?
What?
Who?
Quinoa.
Who's on first?
Quinoa and kale.
What's on second?
Third base.
Yeah.
Third base. I don't know. Third base.
I appreciate that. The night it was my daughter's game, somebody said, "Who's that on second base?" I said, "No, who's on first?"
Very good.
Nice.
Okay. A little good having Costello.
Me too. Me too. Jack Benny, too. I was one of those weird kids that grew up listening to like Jack Benny and
Evan
Costello.
I'm still confused to where you were. Where did you eat?
When?
Where did you eat kale?
Oh, at home. It just was one of those things I bought at Kroger in a bag. Just heated up in the bag.
Okay.
Threw some chicken.
You said you ate it at
it.
Somewhere. I ate kale at.
I know. I ate quinoa and kale.
Oh.
Quinoa is a food.
Oh, okay. Way you said it, you made it sound like it was a place.
No.
I know what quinoa is, but you made it sound like there was a restaurant called quinoa that you were dining at.
Get out of my freezer.
It's like, I'm not in your freezer.
There's some chicken in there.
Looking in your freezer.
What?
Don't tell me to get out of your freezer.
No, the quinoa and kale was in my freezer.
Who's on first? Third base.
What's on second?
I don't know.
You got a pitcher on this team?
What's his name?
You can't tell me today. It's going to be tomorrow.
So once upon a time, I could do that whole routine.
Yeah.
We're off.
We're done.
So be back on Monday.
Yeah, I should be here.
All right. I look forward to it.
Me too.
And your spiky hair.
Find us on Twitter.
Kind of spiky today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the Journal Memo.
That's right. Find Kiefer on Twitter at Big Chiefer.
We looked up at Chiefer is taken by a guy who tweeted
but
once.
At Big Chiefer not taken until now. I got that one. So
nice.
Got that one on lockdown.
So I got to pay you to get it now.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll think about it.
Got all the pictures of you on there. Good to go. It's going to
be the fake account, the fake Chris Kiefer account.
Want to make it look just like yours.
Nice. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
Mm-hmm. At W. Derek Russell for myself.
There you go.
And Daily Journal's Twitter, of course, where you can find the latest in breaking news at D Journal Now. Also, links to all the stories you heard about today online, djournal.com, or in your paper of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Okay. Monday.
We'll see you then.
wacky farm animals, and Brad's going to juggle. Tune in. Just put a little asterisk next to that. Brad may not juggle, and no farm animals may appear.
There are no farm animals. No farm animals were hurt in the production.
We'll have wacky crime reports, though, on
just
Monday.
Come in here and start mooing.
Shoot, I
got a cow in the studio. That's impressive. Never know what you'll find on the midnight. We'll see you on Monday.
Have a great weekend.